I'd like to welcome everyone to our work session of our City Council meeting of September 2nd, 2025. Our first item is a quarterly financial report from Heidi.
Thank you. Sorry to start off the meeting with a bunch of numbers, but we have some preliminary idea of where we're going to end fiscal year 2025, which ended June 30th. So I wanted to present some of those numbers today. It's almost all positive, so I always love to have good news. So you can see that revenues came in ahead of budget by $224,500, slightly less than last year's revenues that came in ahead of budget by $329,000. The measure here really is just to see how well are we budgeting our revenues. So actually closing that gap and getting closer to true is a good thing. As far as where those revenue numbers came in, property taxes came in 4.6% ahead of last year. Sales tax came in 3.9% ahead of last year. Franchise taxes ahead 2.5%. Court fines, and I know I've been reporting on this pretty regularly, up at 33.5%. And charges for services, which are going to be our development fees related to plan checks and such, are up 32%. And then not surprisingly, interest is down 34.7%. The rates dropped from averaging about 5.4% to 4.4% over the last year. And then miscellaneous revenues is down 30%. It's not a significant portion of the general fund budget. It's mostly grants and other items. So to look at it in all of these areas and just compare those revenues, you can see that property tax number were up about $146,000. A lot of that's related to personal property. So personal property came in, best I can tell, about $70,000 ahead of last year. I need to get the detailed reports from the county still to determine which types of industries, which businesses those would relate to. Like, is it going to be the refinery? Who did the major improvements? But we'll have more information on that because that was definitely ahead of expectations. Sales tax was up $260,000. If you'll recall, last year we actually saw it drop by 115, so it's nice to be on the rebound with that number. And then as far as those plan check fees, if you drop down to charges for services, that's up $157,000, and then that court revenue's up $139,000. So total revenues collected is $14,744,120 as compared to $14,141,120 last year. As far as expenditures, they came in under budget. That's not uncommon for us. We often have projects that roll fiscal years across fiscal years, even in the general fund, and it's generally in the same places. It's going to be in police, streets, and parks, where we either have projects that are in progress at the time the fiscal year closes, or in the police department, if they have happened to have some turnover in staff, sometimes we'll see some savings in wages. So as far as expenditures that were or departments that spent less than the prior fiscal year, our general government was down 1.9% due to pretty much a single line item, elections. We didn't have an election on last year's budget, so it's a small budget overall, so it does have that bit of an impact. Public Works is down 5.3%. That's related to streets, and a lot of it's snow removal. Our snow removal costs were much less this last year because we had a lot less snow. And then transfers. For the past several years, we have been transferring out of the general fund $705,000, or sometimes a little bit less than that, but about $700,000 to the Streets Capital Project Fund to fund streets projects. We did not make that transfer this fiscal year. We instead made the transfer out of our capital reserves fund. Areas where budgets increased or spending increased would be the police budget by 9.4%. A lot of that's going to be related to equipment. We purchased some of those flock cameras that were new, as well as the surveillance trailer right at the end of the fiscal year. Fire is up just based on our contract assessment, based on the formula that's related to property tax values. Community development is up 10.9%, and this is only because we have the general plan funded and paid for that in this fiscal year. And then parks was up 8%. Also related to equipment, we purchased a trailer and a utility vehicle, as well as the trees. We spent $40,000 on trees, so that was really good. $10,000 of that was for our citizen tree program, so we're excited about that. And so in just comparison, we came in $631,000 under budget. And these comparisons really are just, these two numbers really are unrelated to the actual growth or changes from prior year. It's mostly to show how well we're aligning, how well we're doing at budgeting. So that's a good metric. How close did we get to meeting the mark? Again, there's those expenditures. So you can see $14,236,430 in fiscal year 2024 compared to $14,186,410 in fiscal year 2025. I think this is the easiest way to see what happens when you remove that transfer. So obviously our bottom line spending looks better because we don't have that outflow. And it also has given us a ending positive fund balance of $557,710 contribution to fund balance. So you can see the net spread there, or the change in the city's net position between the two fiscal years is about $650,000 compared to the, really it's a function of that $705,000 not making that transfer and reallocating it. So we're still really pretty much right in line with where we were at last year. And that gross fund balance from $4.6 million to $5.2 million. One of the things that came up during the strategic planning was the RDA and the monies that are sitting in the RDA funds. So we have four different RDA funds, and I kind of wanted to just go over where they are looking for the end of the fiscal year. So as we continue those discussions on use of these funds for different things like beautification, we have an idea of how much is left over at the end of every fiscal year and where we ended the fiscal year for 2025. So Eaglewood Village collects $760,000 in tax increment. Those revenues grew by 5%. It's just related, it's all property tax, so it's related to the valuation of the property in that project area. At the end of the year, because most of this funding goes back out to the developer, 95%. The city collects 5%. We're allowed to keep the interest. So we had $431 unallocated, and the total fund balance at for the full life of this project is $9,277. So again, we're not collecting a lot out of this project area to put towards those beautification efforts. Redwood Road and Highway 89 are more the projects that have left some funds left over after meeting our developer contribution.
Question on the Eaglewood Village RDA. What is the timing on the reimbursements to the developer? Is that
it goes through the end of the project? There's no cap. So I think the project ends, I'm not sure on this, 27 or 29.
It's coming up. Yeah.
We have the three project areas. The next two we extended through the COVID. COVID, there was a special provision where you are allowed to extend by 2 years, and we did that with the Redwood Road and Highway 89.
And when we put in infrastructure into that Eaglewood project, have we been reimbursed for that, or did we get that down the road?
So the developer put infrastructure in, mostly.
Okay.
It was the developer. We've been paying the developer back
for that
infrastructure. And it appears to me that they will not be fully refunded for their expenditure. That was part of the agreement, was they took the risk that they may not be fully paid back. Particularly since those front parcels have been slow to develop. I think at the time we entered into those agreements, everyone thought that we would have a full build out quickly, which would have had a better chance of paying back the developer's investment in the public infrastructure quicker. But anyway, it appears that development group will be paid most of their investment, but not all. So,
because we are likely going to go into some conversations about how we could utilize this money, will you do a review of how RDA funds are collected and what they are intended for?
Sure. And Ken might be better to discuss because he was part of developing these agreements, and it might be specific to each project area. So if that would be okay.
Sure. Yeah, I think as Heidi mentioned, we extended the time for tax increment revenue collection by 2 years for each of these projects. The way that this would work, and it works in all of our redevelopment project areas, is that we measure at the beginning of the project, we establish a base year, and we measure taxable value at that base year. And then all taxable value that is added into the project, the property tax of that increment, that is that additional value, gets collected by the redevelopment agency and remitted to us. And all the taxing agencies have agreed to remit a portion of their property tax for the increment. That is the difference between the base year taxable value and any taxable value that we add by development into the project area. In the case of Eaglewood Village, there's a significant increase in taxable value because the property was vacant at the base year. On Redwood Road and US 89, those are very different redevelopment projects areas because they had lots of taxable value. In the case of Redwood Road, though, we had significant enough vacant property so that a good deal of taxable value has been added. And so it's generating much more tax increment revenue than we expected. And so that's one that shortly we'll want to have a work session and look at those original plans because now, as you can see from Heidi's report, we have a significant fund balance that's growing and we need to project some expenditures in the Redwood Road area, particularly since we've retired some of the original obligations to pay people back for things. So I don't know if that was a good enough explanation for where the money comes from.
Are there specific restrictions on how this money gets used?
There are restrictions in the state law, but they're very broad and they allow for a redevelopment agency to be flexible in economic development activities. We also adopted a plan that we'll review that in our work session. And the plan had some general categories of where we said we would spend the money. Some of it was for property assemblage. Some of it was to incentivize development, which we certainly did with the Lee's Marketplace project. That was the first project we did. So we can look at all of that. But generally speaking, we have a list of really good improvements that we could make. And I think you'd find that we can be pretty flexible. Yep.
Thank you. Moving on to Redwood Road. So this project area collected $1,478,780 last fiscal year. This represents growth of 6.8%. $221,450 of it was unspent at the end of the fiscal year, and that's even after making contributions to the Hatch Park project. If you'll remember, we passed a special resolution that allowed us to spend funds from this project area outside of the project area. And in that project area plan that Ken referenced, that was one of the allowable items. Fund balance at the end of the year is $1,934,118. And the development agreement or the payment to the developer has been capped now for several years. So we're just collecting the increment and have no further obligations at this point.
Are we free to utilize this additional revenue then in the same way that we on Hatch Park or do we need to pass an additional resolution?
I believe we would need to go through the same type of assessment that it has a general community benefit.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me just clarify, though, we are continuing to make a contribution to the Hatch Park payments through this RDA. We did make a finding already that some of those payments.
We did, and there was an amount, a cap of how much we were going to use from this fund. And the intent was it was going to be enough to get the debt service covered until we renew wrap tax and the existing debt dropped off from Legacy Park. And then we were going to be able to use the wrap tax funds then to come in and make that payment for the life of the Hatch Park debt. Highway 89, so this project collected $600,060. Growth was 3.7%. We had $66,510 allocated, unallocated at the end of the fiscal year. This is the one where we have about another year and a half left to meet the development agreement before all of the funds flow back into the RDA. And right now, fund balance at the end of the fiscal year is $186,526. And then early on in the city's, when it first developed the redevelopment agency, it had a separate fund, and all of the projects were recognized in a single fund, and the funds were kind of somewhat commingled, if you will. So the increment came in, and it wasn't itemized to a different project area. We do have calculations, and we kind of back into that number to figure out where this balance came from. But for now, because it hasn't been allocated in any way, it is still sitting in the general operating RDA fund. And it has a balance of $823,040. And right now it's only collecting interest on that balance. And then last, I wanted to talk about our housing funds. So housing is a separate governmental fund. The money does come into the RDA fund and then come back out and get set aside into the housing fund by those two project areas we just talked about, Redwood Road and Highway 89. The housing revenue grew by 7.9%. At the end of the fiscal year, because we don't have any housing projects going on right now, it was all unallocated, which was $253,790. That's going to be the housing portion as well as interest that was earned that year. Right now, if you want to know what that fund balance is, it's $1,150,655 at the end of fiscal year 2025. And just know it's growing about $55,000 a year. We actually run a projection out through the life of those project areas. So Redwood Road with the extension will end first in fiscal year 2030. And Highway 89 will run through fiscal year 2034. And so taking those increases that we saw here of Highway 89's growth is about 3.7%, and Redwood Road is about 6.8%. And I took an average of actually the last 3 years. And they're both pretty close, but that's why you see two columns. I wanted to kind of escalate them differently to think how much are we going to get through the life of each of these projects. And the estimated amount that we would have brought in total through the life of these project areas is a little over $2.6 million.
And are there requirements on the timing of expenditure?
There are requirements on the timing of expenditure. I don't have those available, but we know we need to do something soon.
The key for us will be to put the housing plan together, and then we'll be able, simply by adopting a plan saying this is how we're going to use the funds, will relieve us in a great degree from any sort of deadlines.
And really quick, just so I understand, is the housing fund delineated legislatively, or was this a general plan, a decision by council previously? Is this under legal requirement?
It is.
So the difference between RDA and housing is?
It's all in the Redevelopment Agency Act at the state level. And so, there is legislation that allows us to do this. And at some point, it may even require it. I think it was optional at one point in time and is now not optional.
Okay.
I want to say it's 5%. It was part of the community.
It's
10. Okay.
I think it's 10%.
Part of the Community Reinvestment Act. That was all I have. That was just kind of a sneak peek into where we're closing out fiscal year 2025. Preliminary numbers, A lot of the audit entries have been made. There's always a handful of things that come in, so of course these could change, but it's just something we can take a look at for our next planning session. Were there any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Good job. Keep budgeting good. Next item is discussion of the proposed 2026 civic events. And my notes say Tammy's going to lead this out.
Those notes are correct. So we met August 26th as the events committee to go over the upcoming events. And I believe that Ken has a slide for us that is going to be put on the...
We're trying to advance it here.
Oh.
There we go.
There they are.
No problem.
I just appreciate that. Thank you so much. Those are the things that will be on the 2026 event list that are, most of those are things that have been previously in years past. The one that you'll notice, the photo contest is in the Arts Committee, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. There's also some things, Unity in the Community, we'll talk just a little bit about too. Those are also in conjunction with the food truck nights. And there was an interest to do something with also in conjunction with a Boulder Way Forward to, which Lisa, I think that you'll find this something that you'll like, that they want to do a girls' night out. And there was somebody that came to present something to the events committee, and she actually has offered to chair that event as well, which always helps if somebody's willing to step up and do that with the committee and have people that will help that. There will be information more as it gets closer in and as they start doing that a little bit. And they figure out for sure what they're going to do, but we wanted to bring that forward to... There's also several nights that other things can be presented that we could do with the food truck nights as well with those events. Let's see. I think we could go to the next one. The other committees, the Arts Committee, Youth City Council, Trails Committee, and Health Wellness have also been given some events or things that they will help with, and those are listed on those in their various places. And they will have, which is actually helpful because then it doesn't give so much to just the events. And we appreciate that a lot. And I think the 250 semi-quincentennial we will discuss in the regular city council meeting.
Yeah, and I'd just say a word about that. And I wasn't at your committee meeting, so you correct me if I say this the wrong way, but there's a high level of interest in the Civic Events Committee to engage in the Utah 250 designation and to put events together, as I understand the committee's sentiments. I think they have a desire to do some events, even starting before 2026, perhaps even a kickoff earlier than 2026, but... anyway, that will be on the agenda. We have a resolution on the agenda to become a Utah 250 city, which I think is important. And there's reasons that we ought to do that so we can get designated that way. We'll explain when we get to that item. But the Civic Events Committee is real energized, and we also wanted this to be on the agenda because this is the opportunity for you to pick and choose if you want to eliminate things or change things. We also, just sort of an administrative need, we need to publish the 2026 calendar fairly soon, not tomorrow, but within the next few weeks or maybe the next couple of months. And so it would be helpful to the staff to know what events are moving forward and what events, if any, are changing or being removed. So, not that you have to decide all that tonight, but this was the reporting back item from our retreat and from other assignments to talk about civic events.
And if the council is okay with the events that are on there, basically then the dates have been set. Those are things that have been on the agenda or this calendar year for several years. And so, like, the Kite Festival is usually the second Saturday in May. This Spooktacular is usually the Saturday before Halloween. So those dates have been set. They just weren't put on this slide per se. But really those, if everybody is in agreement, those are things that have already, the dates have been established as well.
And then just to clarify, the events committee also voted that this was their recommendation to City Council for what events should be on the calendar.
Yes, they all were in agreement. Even as far as the two that are at the top, the Pride and the Juneteenth, they did want to keep those on there as well.
So you know that I asked that this be part of our agenda, and I would like to have a quick discussion on the unity and community events, because I know that it's been a point of discussion among the city for at least the last couple of years that I've been here. And I think even just the fact that we've had numerous letters pro and con for and against these events is evidence in and of itself that it's causing disunity in our community. And ironically, unity in the community is the name, but there's just a lot of division in these events. I would love to propose that we just choose events that are inclusive to the majority of the city and that everyone can feel comfortable and included in on each of those events. I think that our 250-year committee and celebration would be an easy transition for next year to. We already have so many city events, as Tammy mentioned. We have a lot of city events. So maybe rather than adding 3, 4, 5 more 250-year events, we could get behind unity in the community through the celebration of America, the 250-year celebration. I think there are numerous events that would be all-inclusive to the entire city, but I think it's probably important that we discuss it and hear from each council member, because I know, Elisa, that you've put your blood and toil and sweat into these, and so I don't want, I think, again, inherently, it could cause disunity, and that's not ever my purpose or my goal. But I do think that we should probably discuss options, leanings, and maybe the feedback that we've been receiving from the community kind of nonstop for 2 years, at least since I've been in. There's probably been others that I haven't been aware of.
I'll say something first on this one. When we were in the meeting and we were talking about it, and we talked about the different ones that we did, I will say that I probably thought differently until there was somebody that came on public comment and spoke up after we had the Pride event, and she said that after she went to that, she felt that she had a place where she felt welcome, and I thought we should have a place for that. And I do feel that, I don't feel that there's ever been any time that if they go to anybody goes to these events that anything's trying to be pushed or shown or, I don't know, making anybody decide what they want or do, I guess, is as it is. However, there's so many different days of the food truck nights that are open that if anybody wanted to do a different night, that they could get behind and do something different if they feel like their community is not being met. And so the other is if maybe we don't do some that we've already done, would it be more of a disservice to stop that because we've already done it for a couple years? That was kind of my thought behind it. So, but I did have kind of a change of heart in my own thought, because I thought, I do want a place where people feel like they're welcome and that they can go regardless of anything, that they feel welcome and included. So that was just kind of my thought, and that there's so many different, that we can do all kinds of different groups or people that they can decide if they wanted, they can always step up. That's exactly what the girls' night out was, is they decided they would like to do that, and she was willing to do a chair for that. So that's my feelings.
I agree, and I think that we always want everyone to feel included. That's, again, the purpose of building unity and community. I've received letters of parents saying that they didn't want to have a sexual discussion with their kids just because they went to a community event, having to explain what does being gay mean, and that's can be problematic. I would default to Justice Clarence Thomas's statement, which I think is very valid. That's probably why he made it, that he said that we're inherently unable to highlight one subset of society without inherently putting down or diminishing or dismissing another subset of society. And so the list is endless. I agree, we could make every food truck every single week another small subset. It would take a lot of work. It would take a lot of money. And we probably would frustrate or upset everyone in the process, because what happens when you are bringing up this ethnicity and this race and then this leaning and that leaning, then people are going to get upset. If we started bringing in different religious groups, people would get upset. And so Bountiful has food truck night. It's an option, like twice a week, just food truck night. They don't theme it. They don't have any sort of political, religious, social issues going on with their food truck night. They just have food truck night. I'm wondering if maybe you could speak to, I know Melissa Ballard came and spoke to the Activities Committee about this very issue and her concerns with these events. Maybe you could speak to what she shared and whether that was received by the committee or not.
The same as what you're saying. And she did say something like, even doing, like on the 24th of July, doing maybe something that was more towards the 40 days of 47 or something. But that's Bountiful's. You know, that would be stepping on Bountiful's toes, I think, because they've done the days of 47 for Bountiful for so long. And she actually talked about maybe doing other different events as well. I honestly think we have enough events. To try to add more in just seems like a lot. And I feel like we have really good ones that are already there. I mean, I hate to say I, because I don't want to speak for just myself, but
and it's hard to voice your opinion. We'll inherently be bringing more in, right?
Right.
250.
Yeah, but so. I think that was her point to visit. But also, when I talked to the committee, they want to keep those two things there. They didn't want to not do the Pride event and the Juneteenth. They felt like that was something that people was important to them.
And I know that I mentioned this last meeting, but whenever there's a large event, especially if it could be considered a controversial event, it's always going to lay squarely on the city council's shoulders. It will be assumed that the city council as a whole decided. So while in valuing the committee's opinions, if it comes down to a newspaper article or numerous emails and phone calls, they won't call the committee. They're going to call the city council, because we're the ones elected to represent the community as a whole, not subset. I mean, subsets as well, but the community as a whole. And so I do think that it should be a city council decision on the events. If there's anything that we feel might cause disunity and contention in our community that will elicit citizens writing us, calling us, texting us. So, I mean, we just got an email, you know, last week on this, which inherently just says, as we're getting emails pro and emails con, that there's some contention and disunity in the feeling of the community as a whole, or else they wouldn't feel the need to say, please cancel this event, please keep this event. And they're feeling this tug of war. And I just think that it's such an ironic oxymoron, because these few unity in the community events are causing disunity in the community.
Ted?
Suzette, thanks for bringing this up, sincerely. This is tricky. I think that your point has good logic, and I find it compelling, but I don't overall agree with it. And here's the reason why for me. I just contrast the valid concerns of people that sort of, you know, don't support the event, and I think they are valid reasons. I think that it's easy for them to just choose to not go. Just don't go. The gay community is known. I mean, I don't think that this is not going to be an introduction to anybody. And it's just easy to avoid. And then you contrast that with those that I think feel seen, feel welcomed by having an event. Gosh, I live in a community where I have a place. And so I just do a little bit of a valid point, more compelling point in my mind. So that's kind of where I come down.
Lisa.
Suzette, you raise some good issues, and I know you feel strongly and you've been contacted by residents concerning this. I have not. The only one that I've been contacted by has been Melissa Ballard, who is, I think, pointedly opposed to the Pride event more than anything. I think we are in, right now, historically, politically, nationally, at the state level, where there is division, and the unity in the community is not creating it. The division already exists in our culture. So I think that the point that we've got here is events meant to bring the city together in celebration of one another and how we all contribute to our community. And I like the idea that maybe to adjust it, that I didn't know the civic events community was adamant to include Pride and the Juneteenth event. But I see that this is in some ways a result of the wellness information that we've been looking at, the surveys, expressions from people who crave or need attention, and sometimes it's as he says, it's tricky. I'm sort of dancing around this, but what my feeling is, I don't believe that we need to make anything less diverse or less equal or less inclusive in our civic events committees. And so I would be for possibly having a rotation where you have, as you want, maybe a Days of 47 event, or we have a cowboy breakfast on the Pioneer Day, or we have pies. We have a pie festival for our Pioneer Day. But we could do it on a rotating basis, so that this year is the Pride year and the Auto Fest and the Latino year, and next year we'll do the Cowboys and the Days of 47. And in other words, it doesn't have to be set in stone year by year. And I think that the information that you're getting from people, I think they think that it's unchangeable, which it is not, and also it can be accommodated. So if somebody says, you know, I really, 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 really love my Harley, and I want a Harley Davidson event for unity in the community. Who's to say we can't do that one year? Right? So there are people that are welcome, and to me, the more the merrier. But if you want it on a schedule, sort of like a time, place, manner adjustment, I'm happy to do that.
Lisa.
I'm glad to have this conversation. I'm grateful to bring it up. I think it's important to have the conversation openly and in public. I think that this conversation has been ongoing, and I think that that's important. I wholeheartedly disagree with the statement from Justice Thomas and do not, so it to me, it's not persuasive at all because I just don't agree with it. I think if we were to say we are not doing a good job for the city because we get emails where people tell us we're not doing a good job for the city, we would not be able to do anything. If we will not move forward with Hatch Park until we make sure we get zero emails of people telling us you're doing it wrong at Hatch Park, we're actually not leading out in the city. That we cannot use as our measure for are we being successful as a council, that we're not making anybody mad. I just don't think that that's a reasonable criteria to put in place for a public decision-making body. So I hear your rationale behind this is causing disunity in the community, but I actually feel like making public decisions causes disunity in the community, and that's actually our job. And so we have to do the best that we can for the benefit of our residents, and sometimes in a utilitarian way for the most of the residents, or we can use other criteria for how we do that. But to say we should not do any event unless it doesn't ruffle any feathers does not seem like a reasonable critique. I also think there are similar critiques that could be applied to different events that don't feel compelling. For example, not every event is intended for every resident. The Halloween event is really targeted for young kids, and a very religious family could come to that event and say, I'm really uncomfortable that I went to this event and then I had to talk to my kids about what the devil is or what all of these pieces are that are against my personal views. Or there are critiques that could happen for a lot of these events, and that's okay because, like has been shared, I think people can pick and choose the events that they want to go to, and nobody's forcing them to go to any of them. I haven't received a lot of emails complaining about the Pride Festival. I think in the 3 years that we've been working towards this, I've gotten two, and I've gotten dozens of positive feedback. Now, it makes sense that that's what I'm getting because I am more closely involved with that, but that doesn't reflect, I mean, I don't think all of us are getting the same emails that you're getting, which I actually think means that it's very important for you to come and to share that perspective because you are representing a group that's not maybe talking to me about it, and I really appreciate that. But I don't think that, again, because we are making some people frustrated means we should stop. I think that we have to do things that make some people frustrated all the time, and then we just have to decide which of those we want to do. I also get a lot of emails complaining about the fireworks every year, and that people think it's not a good use of money. People think that it, for a variety of reasons, I don't think that means we shouldn't do the fireworks, but it might mean that we should have a conversation about it, which we have had, and for this one that we're having right now, which I appreciate. And again, I want to speak to every event is not intended for every person. And when I was on the events committee, we were really deliberate about looking at our slate of events and saying, which groups in our city will this one appeal to? And some of them are young families, and some of them are individuals, and some of them are older individuals. And that was the goal. It was not every event is so standardized that every person in the city is going to want to come to this event. That was never the goal when I was a part of choosing those events, and I do not think it should be the goal moving forward. I think that we have a slate of events because it meets many people's needs and interests, and I don't know, aside from maybe some people here and some of the staff, that we have any residents who go to every single event, that they just don't. Everybody is picking and choosing which ones they want to go to, and nobody's forcing them to go to any that they don't want to go to. And then as we continue, and I think it is a good conversation to have, we do bear the brunt of the decisions that are made in the city. But I also feel like over the course of the years that we have been a part of this, the city council has weighed in on their feelings about it many, many times. And when we first decided to do the Unity in the Community events, we went through and we kind of were moving forward. Yes, let's go forward. And I stopped the meeting and said, you're probably going to get some emails. I want to make sure every city council member is okay with that, and everybody said yes. So the idea that the city council has not like sounded in on it is not accurate. And then I feel like every year we continue to see that sounding in, not as a formal vote, but as a continued process of the discussion, which I really appreciate. I also want to speak to the idea of a rotation. I do not think that that is a good idea. And the reason why is this: the community events that we have right now are all chaired by citizens. And I do not think we can go to the chairs of the Juneteenth committee and say, we don't want to do that this year, but will you do a, I don't know, Pi Day? I think that that is not respectful of the way that they have wanted to give to the city and to contribute and volunteer to the city. They might choose to do that, and that's okay. If they want to do that, I think that would be fine. But I think the idea of rotation means we're also then adding in the work of finding people to be in charge of this event or giving it to the events committee to be in charge of it. Whereas as this stands, there are citizen committees that are running each of these events, and we do not have to find somebody new to plan it or to do something new. So the workload would go up to rotate, and it will not go up to carry on what's here. Every single one of these committees has a citizen chair. None of the other city's committees have a citizen chair. The Unity and the Community events are drawing in more citizen volunteerism than any other like committee. Now, Liberty Fest is so huge, and there are lots of volunteers that participate that would, I think that would outweigh how many volunteers are there, but the Liberty Fest and those pieces are still run as city events, and these are city events, but like the chairs are mostly running those. So I really love that these events have been citizen driven and continue to be, and I really appreciate that our citizen committee, the events committee, really supported this and wanted this to be that, and I think that those are also voices that should matter in this discussion. So I am in support of this slate of events.
Thank you, Elisa. While I don't have a vote, I have an opinion that I'd like to share. My first thought, and Elisa addressed this somewhat, but when we first started this, I was under the impression that we would do some kind of a rotation, and we've kind of locked in on these events. I think that, and I don't know, I may be reading more into this, but the state legislature has kind of come down on some things, and maybe Melissa's showing up is a shot across our bow a little bit to get in line, and I don't know that we need to respect that at all, but I've had some wonderful experiences at the Pride event. I've also received some emails that were disappointed in me being there and doing that. But I felt good about it. Now, having said that, I was highly offended at the Salt Lake City event this year. I don't know if any of you saw what went on, but it was offensive. And if I'm grateful for our community that we don't go there. If they went there, I think we'd be having a different discussion tonight about it. I look at the Latino night, and I think our city's 17%.
Is that right? It's about 14%.
14%. I always exaggerate. I'm a politician. 14% Latino. You know, that's a big segment of our community, so I think that's good. I know we have a pretty good Polynesian community, and we've tinkered with that a little bit. Anyway, I just appreciate... I appreciate everyone's perspective and how thoughtful everyone is about this. I don't know how Ted feels, but I'm feeling a little left out on the Boulder Way Forward event, but I can live with that. So I don't know that. I think the council's spoken here, and.
Can I just say one thing about that feeling left out part? Because we talked about that.
You're not going to go to, I can be gender neutral.
Well, no. I was going to say if they did feel like that, then they definitely could have a night where they did a boys' night out, and so they're always welcome.
I think Craig would put a stop to that real fast. But
can I just add one thing?
And then I'll add one after you.
Okay. I do believe that when we started this, it wasn't meant to always be the same. I do believe that it was meant to rotate. And that was my understanding. And then we'd come back and we'd say, are we okay doing it again this year? But we would weigh in each year to see if this is where we want to go. Now, what I'm understanding is that the events committee wants to do this. But I don't think that as small a city as we have, that the bureaucracy is such that we cannot shift. And if somebody else comes to the events committee and say, I really want to have a Harley Davidson day, I'm using that just as a hypothetical, why not, right? And if somebody says, I will volunteer for that, I'll make sure I have whatever is necessary to make this event this year, we should allow it. We should want to welcome it. So I like the flexibility and by taking it off 1 year doesn't mean we won't bring it back or that it's gone forever or that it has to come back. You know, I just want to have it be reflective of, as I like to put it, organic, of where it's coming from. And I think where we are was reflective of that. And I think the wellness study and the people with special needs and interests are being represented. But I do think that in the future, moving it around a little bit would be a good idea.
Three really quick points. Point one, I think it generally makes sense for us to be deferential to our committee. You know, they're putting a lot of time and effort into it. Two, I very much think that it is the right thing for you, Suzette, to bring this up. Even if we talked about it not that long ago, I'm not sure that we've had the conversation with this composition. And it is, like it or not, right? There is some controversy to this in our community. So we're going to have to talk about it on a periodic basis.
Yes.
And then point three, Mayor, I wasn't totally sure what you're getting at with Salt Lake City and what they did wrong or differently, and we don't need to go into it. But I do think that there's nothing in my mind that is sort of broken or off with the current Pride event here in North Salt Lake, but we should watch it. So,
thank you. One thing I guess I just add to this, we added back to school this year, and I want to keep from, I don't want to go to where we just add one new one every year and we have 20 at the end of, so let's keep that in mind too. But
and didn't we know that the back to school was poorly attended?
That was my recollection, but I wasn't. But yeah. Who knows? Maybe.
Well, and it was new, and we learned from that, and we'll, you know, hopefully it will be better next year because they do want to do it next year again. With yes, and hopefully it will be bigger next year.
We did, just like, so the council knows, we did collect school supplies at City Hall until last week. So we have some school supplies we'll be distributing to local schools. So that went along with back to school.
I also want to speak to that idea of it being small. When these events were first kind of conceptualized, I was not under the impression that it would be a rotation, but I was under the impression that we will revisit this. This is not a long-term commitment that we're making at year one when we decided to do this. I very much felt that same thing. And we did revisit it again at year two and decided to do that again. And then we're revisiting it again, which I think is appropriate. I was never under the impression that it was meant to be a rotation, but that we would reevaluate. Do we want these at these events at all? But part of the purpose of these events was to intentionally make them small. And we talked about that in Health and Wellness Committee, and I've mentioned that a few times in council, that the idea is not to create regional events. And we are not a huge city. And so if the events feel small, like Back to School Night, which was a new event, If it feels small, it actually is intended to feel small. And I think that that smallness is part of why our event might feel so different from the Salt Lake City event, because we are actually trying to say, if you live here and this is a place you want to be and come and celebrate, come and be with us in our community. We're not trying to say, if you're anywhere in our county or in our region and you want to come celebrate this night, we're putting on a party for you. That's not what these events were ever intended to be. And so for them to be small is part of the design. And so I would just caution, and not that we can't ever decide not to do any of them, because we have done that before, but that being small is not sufficient reason to say this one isn't of value. There are other reasons to say that, and that should be part of the conversation. Latino Heritage one is one that the very first night it was really, or the very first year, it was really small, and it's built some momentum, and is something that the volunteers that are a part of it look forward to it every year. And So when it comes to adding them in more events, I would start with a yes and. If somebody comes and they want to do a Harley event, like, great, let's do it. Before we pull one away, let's add in. And I know there should be some limits on what that is, but one thing that makes these events different is that we're not asking a committee member to run them. They have citizen committee chairs. So if somebody comes in and wants to do a Harley event and wants to run it and plan it, okay, I think that's great. And when we feel like we're at capacity for that, we should maybe look at and make some hard decisions about that. So I would caution, if we choose not to, let's choose that for a really purposeful reason and be clear about that reason instead of just, we want to rotate or we ought to, because at this point we have the capacity, we have the plans in place, vendors look forward to these particular nights, and they want to come back year to year. I get emails asking when is the next one. So there's a momentum in place. And it's not that we could be flexible moving forward, and I think that's also part of the decisions we make, but we should be really clear about what the reasons are.
And I would just like to thank the council for this discussion. As I appreciate Ted and Melissa, you both mentioning that we're just elected to represent our constituents, and we're going to hear different things from the different areas that we live and the different people we associate with. And so I do agree that any of us would be remiss in not bringing up what we're hearing, even if it's difficult. And I also think that one of the things that could be used in government in general is setting a example of unity and being able to discuss and disagree and shake hands and go to lunch afterwards. That is a valuable thing, and I think that's something that we have on our council and is very, I think, agreeable to all of us. I think we all feel that way, and I'm very grateful for that. And has been suggested, I would love to revisit this. Since I've been on, this is the first formal discussion we've had about it, and so a couple years now. So I think every year, it's important that we revisit, look at, evaluate. I know I asked Tammy if metrics could be kept going forward on how much is spent and how many people come, and some of those kind of metrics, I think, help in making decisions going forward. So I just appreciate being able to have the conversation and that everyone was willing to weigh in and give thoughts and feedback.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's take a quick break, and we'll start our city council session and pick up these other items.